of drug war is glaringly obvious to judges, cops, wardens, prosecutors, and millions more now calling for decriminalization, legalization, the end of prohibition. Let us investigate the century of lies.
Welcome to this edition of Century of Lies. On this program, our guest will be Mike Gray of Common Sense for Drug Policy, who produced a great new video for Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. We'll be bringing you the audio portion of that presentation, and we'll also hear from Mr. Tom Angel of Students for Sensible Drug Policy. But first up, Mr. Mike Gray.
For this edition of Century of Lies, I'm proud to have as our guest a recurrent visitor to the Drug Truth Network. He's the Oscar-nominated screenwriter for The China Syndrome, produced and directed a lot of stuff on TV for Star Trek and other favorites, and I'm proud to welcome the author of Drug Crazy, Mr. Mike Gray.
How are you, Dean?
I'm well, sir. Welcome back to the Century of Lies. Glad to have you with us.
Well, it is always a pleasure.
Yes, Mike, you've done it again. You've produced another production for Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Tell us about that presentation.
Well, this one's a short one, Dean. You can watch this in 12 minutes flat. We were down... Law Enforcement Against Prohibition is a group of police officers that I first ran into at a conference about 2 years ago. And they were at that time, five police officers had gotten together, and these were ranking police officers, I mean captains and chiefs and so forth, and they were sick to the death of the drug war. They had experienced it directly, front line, and they saw that it was destroying not only their own police departments, but the country itself, and corrupting the criminal justice system, and really totally distorting everything, but particularly destroying the inner city, that it was the drug war itself, not drugs, but the drug war that was causing this havoc. And so they decided they were going to do something about it. Frankly, I think guilt played a part in that, because one of the guys who started the thing, Lieutenant Jack Cole, formerly of the New Jersey State Police Department, I got a shot of him at this conference where he's describing how he was forced to, as an undercover agent, arrest college kids for smoking marijuana. And when one of the college kids handed him a marijuana joint in New Jersey back in the 70s, he then immediately became a drug dealer. And Jack Cole said, "I sent over 1,000 young people to jail for 7-year terms for handing me a joint. Something I'm certainly not proud of today." And you can see it in his face. And Jack determined that this system of repression and war against our own citizens was going to stop, or he was going to die trying. So he put this group together, and in the space of 24 months, they have gone from 5 officers to 500 officers, and they include former prosecutors and current prosecutors. They include ranking police officers all over the country, and in fact, some from overseas, and it is a powerful organization that is expanding by leaps and bounds. They have 5,000 supporters in addition to the 500 officers, and leadership was down in Long Beach at the Drug Policy Alliance conference, and I got them together in a conference room and said, "Talk to each other, you know, just tell me how'd you get here, what's going on, what do you think about all this?" And we also were able to shoot them speaking to a couple of college classes while they were in town, and it was so electrifying. Everybody said, "My God, this is... you know, this is amazing," because these are guys with absolute authority. Jack Cole, for example, had 21 years on the New Jersey State Police Force, retired as a lieutenant, and spent 12 years undercover as one of their top undercover agents. So we're not talking about guys with a casual acquaintance with the drug war. And so I sat down at the editing machine and started sifting through that material, and I came up with, distilled those 4 hours into the 12 minutes of absolute dynamite.
Mike, let's go ahead and let the listening audience hear the audio portion of this presentation, and then we'll talk about it a little bit afterwards.
All right, Dean. Thank you.
You know what's really bizarre, Jack, is that we have these private prisons that have now hired lobbyists to go get minimum mandatories and new laws.
In the spring of 2002, five current and former ranking police officers got together to talk about the war on drugs and its impact on their fellow officers. Over the next 3 years, this group of five swelled to 500 as current and former DEA agents, police chiefs, judges, and prosecutors joined their ranks. Now they've gone public, and what they're saying is shaking the drug war establishment to its roots.
The former police chief of Seattle and author of the great new book, Breaking Rank, Mr. Norm Stamper.
I think one of the things that I need to confront with respect to my own behavior is that even though for many years I have believed that this drug war is not just nonsense, but harmful financially and psychically and spiritually, it's just an immoral proposition. I should have been saying much more of that much more strenuously.
The director of law enforcement against prohibition, a man with 12 years as an undercover officer, Mr. Jack Cole.
When I joined New Jersey State Police in 1964, we had 1,700 troopers. We had a seven-man narcotic unit, always seemed perfectly adequate for the job we needed to do. And then overnight, as a result of these bills of Mr. Nixon's, we went from a seven-man unit to a 76-person narcotic bureau. Well, what they decided to do is they took undercover people like myself, and they targeted us against small friendship groups, groups of young people in college, like yourselves. And as soon as we got in there and became their friends, come a Friday night, somebody would say, hey, school's out, we're off work, anyone want to get high? And of course, if nobody said that, that was our job. If somebody simply passed a marijuana cigarette, to me, they became a drug dealer. That hand-held marijuana cigarette would send that person to jail for 7 years. Over 1,000 young people went to jail as a direct result of what I did out there as one undercover agent, something that I'm certainly not proud of today.
Once again, Norm Stamper.
When I was a police officer in 1966, I used to enjoy kicking in doors and going after a half a baggie of marijuana or a seed, even for that matter. It was a felony. We were told in the academy that that was a big pinch. It was really important to collect those numbers, and I did it. I did it with zeal. I did it with a lot of vigor. But after about 14 months on the job, having had a principal prosecutor slapped me upside the head and questioned my understanding of the Constitution, I began to understand that the 17 or the 19-year-old kid I had in the backseat of my police car was not a criminal at all.
Another of the founding members of LEAP, former police captain Peter Crist.
I'm a retired police captain. I spent 20 years in law enforcement working for the town of Tonawanda Police Department. Now, the only way this war on drugs is going to be won is if we make drugs go away. We got to win the war. The enemy's got to be gone. We're making a war on drugs. Drugs are the enemy. We got to make them go away. Show of hands. How many people in this room believe we can do anything to make drugs go away? No more heroin. No more crack cocaine. No more marijuana. Drugs are gone. Let's move on to the next problem. Okay, so we can't make these drugs go away. So this war on drugs really isn't a good title. Makes us feel good. Going to win the war. But it really doesn't describe the policy. I got another word that describes the policy perfectly. Prohibition. How many people got a picture of a big black car, Chicago, Al Capone, and the tops of some machine gun in it? Anybody? How many other thought when you hear that word, that doesn't work? Isn't that what we learned in this country between 1920 and 1933? Prohibition doesn't work. That's why we ended it. Well, that is a description of the policy that we live under today in America when it comes to drugs.
Once again, Jack Cole.
Under prohibition, we have given the right to the criminal of who's going to supply the drugs to the United States, what kind of drugs are going to be supplied, how much those drugs are going to cost, how they're going to be produced, how potent they're going to be, what age levels they're going to sell to, and where they're going to sell. And if they decide they're going to sell to 10-year-old kids on our playgrounds, by God, that's where they'll be sold.
Former Police Chief Jerry Cameron.
The thing that gets me is we don't learn a thing from history. We want our institutions to be pure and not corrupt, but yet we do the things that we know is going to corrupt them.
Peter Crist.
And the way I like to tell the story is, now you came into this thing a bright-eyed, shiny young recruit. You're a police officer 4 or 5 years. You've seen the wasted energy that you spent on this drug war, and now you're standing in a motel room where the drug arrest had just been made. Laying on the bed is $100,000+, hasn't been counted yet in cash. In your back pocket is a $3,800 bill from the plumber that you didn't know how you were going to pay, and it doesn't make any difference anyways. And you take your first taste, and then you're gone.
Jack Cole.
After I retired from the New Jersey State Police, I co-found this group called LEAP, or Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. It's a group that was created to give voice to all the current and former members of law enforcement who feel the war on drugs is not only a dismal failure, but it's a terribly destructive policy.
Chief Jerry Cameron.
I remember just going in, taking a small area of my community and, for all practical purposes, cordoning it off, completely cleaning it up, using some pretty sophisticated techniques, trampling all over the edges of the Constitution to do so. But, I mean, really cleaning it up and getting all of the dope dealers out of there. And to my dismay, 90 days later, I had had a Haitian group to move in from downstate. I had the Miami boys to move in from Jacksonville, and they were shooting machine guns and beating people mercilessly, and I wanted my old dope dealers back.
Jack Cole.
We didn't have an illegal drug in this country until 1914, when we passed the Harrison Anti-Drug Act. Just before 1914, the government said, we have 1.3% of the people in this country addicted to drugs. God, we can't have that, right? So they passed this law. Now you fast forward 56 years to 1970, the beginning of the war on drugs. In 1970, the government said 1.3% of the population is addicted to drugs. Can't have it. Got to start a war on drugs. 36 years later, and $1 trillion and all these lives lost, 1.3% of the population is addicted to drugs.
Peter Crist.
Have you ever woke up in the morning, turn on your TV set, and you see this wonderful picture on your TV? There'll be a big, long table. On one end of the table, there'll be a big pile of money. On the other end of the table, a big pile of guns and drugs. And out in front of the table, there will be a district attorney. And he'll relate to you about the 2-year investigation that culminated last night when we went out with 68 warrants. Have you seen that story? More than once? Yeah, a whole bunch of times, huh? And you're going to keep seeing it too, over and over again. Let me give you an example. These three people here are my gang. I'm the drug kingpin. Okay? They're running my, these three are running my street crew for me. They're taking care of business out there. I'm collecting the bucks. Things are fine. I'm the one with all the bling bling. They're basically paying rent with the money they make, but hey, life's like that. All of a sudden, I get slammed with that 25 year of life. I'm out of the picture. Now, how do these three wonderful people figure out who takes it over? Well, you get your attorneys, you get your attorneys, you get your attorneys, you get the contracts together, right? You look them over, and you see, right? Isn't that how it works? No. You get your people, you get your people, you get your people, and you fight it out on the streets. And here's the kicker. When the violence stops, when the shootings stop, you know what we know then? One of these people is a charge now. And you know what we start doing? The 2-year investigation. So in 2 years, we can have that wonderful television program with the big pile of guns, the big pile of drugs, the big pile of money. We can do it all over again. But you know what never changes? The availability of the drugs on the street.
My name is Minch Lewis. I was city auditor in the city of Syracuse, New York. And at the end of my term, one of the last things that we did was a review the cost of police services in the city. And that led us to discover that most of the money that the city spent for police services was related to drug-related arrests.
Peter Crist.
You arrest the rapist, the rape staff. You arrest the bank robber, the bank robber staff. What have you ever seen stop when you arrest a drug dealer or a drug user? Nothing. Nothing changes. Nothing changes.
Once again, Mitch Lewis.
And the question really was, is that effective? Is that doing anything? Is that giving people any greater feeling of security when we're spending approximately $10 million a year to make these arrests? And the answer that we found after talking to people was no, this is not providing additional security. This is not giving them any greater feeling of belonging or security in their neighborhood. And if it isn't, then there must be a better alternative.
Jack Cole.
Remove the profit motive. If you remove the profit motive, you can do away with almost all these problems. And how do you do that? Simple. You end prohibition, which can only mean one thing. Legalize drugs. Legalize all drugs. Legalize them so that we can control them and regulate them and keep them out of the hands of our children.
Peter Crist.
Drug legalization is not to be construed as an approach to our drug problem. Drug legalization is about our crime and violence problem. Once we legalize drugs, we got to then buckle down and start dealing with our drug problem. And that's not going to be easy, but it's something we can do. 50% of the adult cigarette smokers in this society have quit in the last 10 years. That's an amazing success story when you're talking about the most addictive drug we know of, nicotine. It's an amazing success story. How did we accomplish this wonderful success story? We educated. Really got the word out there to people about how dangerous this substance was.
Jack Cole.
Let me tell you about the outcomes of legalization. First outcome is that 1.6 million less people would have to be arrested here every year, right? Which means something very important monetarily to everyone in this room, everyone in this state, which is in deficit spending like all the other states, everyone in this country, because this is what we spend every year to fight this war. $69 billion down the rat hole. Useless.
Mitch Lewis.
If we really want to improve our urban neighborhoods, the most important thing that we could do, the single most important thing that we could do, is end the war on drugs.
Jack Cole.
South Africa in 1993, under apartheid, they incarcerated 851 black males per 100,000. In the United States in 2004, under prohibition, we incarcerate at the rate of 4,919 black males per 100,000. Now, how anybody could look at this and not see institutionalized racism, I don't know.
Norm Stamper.
I think the drug war has been arguably the single most devastating, dysfunctional, harmful social policy since slavery. I think it has devastated our communities. I think it has ruined the lives of so many of our fellow citizens. I believe that it has cost the national, the state, and the local treasury obscene amounts of money, and for what?
You are listening to Century of Lies on the Drug Truth Network, and what you just heard was the audio portion of a new video produced for Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, and we're speaking with the Oscar-nominated screenwriter and producer of this presentation, Mr. Mike Gray.
All right, Mike, let's hope that they heard what these officers and these city officials were saying, that it is a hopeless failure. There is no projected success on the horizon.
Yeah.
And that it's up to our listeners to become activists. You mentioned earlier there are 500 law enforcement former officials that are on board with LEAP now, but there's another 4,500 friends of LEAP.
Yeah.
That others can join up if they want. Let's tell them the website, Mike.
The website is www.leap, L-E-A-P, www.legalization.cc.
Earlier you also mentioned that there was great remorse.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think it's that unusual for people to have enormous regret over their involvement in the drug war.
That's true. And as these guys are reaching out, they're finding an astonishing level of agreement among their fellow law enforcement officers. Jack Cole told me that when they go around to the various law enforcement conferences. For example, they went to the conference of African-American law enforcement officials. I'm not sure that that's the formal name of the organization, but anyhow, that's a tough audience because they see the impact of drugs on the inner city and so forth. Jack just set up a table at the conference. He was invited immediately to address a panel. They canceled a couple of other speakers, and the other speakers on the panel got up and said, "I'd like to say that I agree with Mr. Cole, the drug war is a disaster." After this speech is over, Jack thanks the guy who was the head of the panel, who was a very impressive, he said, a very impressive black lawman in his own right. And it turns out that this gentleman is a upper echelon DEA official. Okay? He wouldn't tell me who it was. He said he's, you know, head of the unit in one of our major cities. So we're getting support to end drug prohibition from rank-and-file law enforcement and from their bosses.
Mike, I think that speaks rather loudly about the fact that people who spend time in the trenches of the drug war cannot help but see the inherent failure, the inability to actually make the progress it's supposed to do.
Yeah, well, as Captain Peter Crist of Tonawanda, New York says, you know, like when you arrest a drug dealer, nothing changes. Nothing changes. He says if you arrest a mugger, a rapist, or anything like that, you get the rapes go down and the mugging stops. You arrest a drug dealer, all you've done is create a job opening because it's operated by criminals. And as long as you've put the drug market in the hands of criminals, you're going to have Al Capone. That's all there is to it. There is no other solution to that problem. And you either bring this within the realm of legality so that it can be controlled by the state, or you leave it in the hands of the mob, untaxed, uncontrolled, and using our children as frontline runners in the drug market. The police officers very quickly see the futility of the drug war, and they have a sense of helplessness about it. And I think this organization, LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, has given them a sense of hope and the possibility of a light at the end of the tunnel, if you will. And that's why this organization is growing by leaps and bounds.
Well, we've been speaking with Mike Gray, screenwriter and producer of this great new presentation for Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Mike, any closing thoughts?
Dean, I want to remind you that this DVD is available. People can contact Law Enforcement Against Prohibition through their website at www.leap.cc. You can get a hard copy, or there is also copy of the thing that is viewable on their website. So anybody who's interested in hearing what ranking police officers have to say about the failure of the drug war should check this out. It's quite astonishing.
Mike Gray, as co-chairman of Common Sense for Drug Policy, you guys were instrumental in producing this video as well. Is that right?
Yes. We were attending the conference and saw this as an opportunity to get these guys a wider audience. And that's basically what we do. Common Sense for Drug Policy is a service organization. We try to help other organizations expand and get attention in the war against the war on drugs.
Well, real good. And that website for Common Sense?
Common Sense is www.csdp.org. That's CSDP, like Common Sense Drug Policy.
Well, once again, Mike, I want to thank you for being our guest today. And, folks, there are four different ways you can view that video online at leap.cc. Mike Gray, thank you very much.
Thank you, Dean. Take care.
All right, we have just enough time for our interview with Tom Angel of Students for Sensible Drug Policy.
Well, our organization has chapters on college and high school campuses all around the country, and SSDP consists of students who are concerned with the way the war on drugs negatively affects them and their peers.
Well, Tom, one of your latest efforts involves trying to get information from the U.S. government. Tell us about that, please.
Yeah, we've been working to repeal this law, the Higher Education Act drug provision, which is a law that strips financial aid from college students who get drug convictions. We've been working on that for the past 7 years. And in our efforts, we found that more than 175,000 students have been denied aid because of this law all around the country. When we go to Capitol Hill to talk to legislators, or when we talk to members of the press, they're always asking us how this affects students and theirs. So we asked the Department of Education to give us the state-by-state breakdown under a Freedom of Information Act request. And the department won't give us that information for free. They want to charge us more than $4,000. In reality, you know, we're a nonprofit organization, and we qualify for a fee waiver under the law. But the department erroneously claims that we don't, and so we're taking them to court. Well, we just want to know how many students in each state have lost their financial aid because of the HEA drug provision. And unfortunately, the government is trying to stifle our ability to get this information. Interestingly enough, they claimed in their rejection letter to us that revealing the information could somehow lead to drug legalization, and that my organization might profit from that, which is totally absurd. We're a nonprofit organization. I'm not sure how much the government wants to back up the claim that the more the public finds out about how punitive drug war policies, the closer we'll be to ending the war on drugs. Leave it to the federal drug war bureaucrats to stifle students trying to find out about laws that negatively affect them. You know, certainly it's no surprise that the government doesn't want us to find out about how many people are losing their financial aid because of this law. And if members of the media and if citizens found this law affects people in their communities, we'd be much closer to repealing it and erasing it from the law books altogether.
Well, the point being that, say, a young person gets into trouble for having a bag of drugs, and yet we want to prevent him from increasing his status and worth in the community by preventing him from going to school. That's just upside down.
Yeah, that's absolutely absurd. You know, and that's why Students for Sensible Drug Policy has been trying to repeal this law ever since it was enacted 7 years ago. Study after study shows that the more education a person has, the less likely they are to engage in drug abuse or to commit other crimes, and the more likely they are to be successful, productive, taxpaying citizens. It hurts society as a whole by making our streets less safe and by hurting our economic productivity as a nation.
If you want to learn more about Students for Sensible Drug Policy, please visit their website, which is ssdp.org. Well, I hope you enjoyed this edition of Century of Lies, and that you'll remember there is no truth, justice, logic, scientific fact, medical data. In fact, there is no reason whatsoever for this drug war to continue. Please do your part to end this madness. Visit our website, inprohibition.org. Prohibido istak ivalesko.
For the Drug Truth Network, this is Dean Becker, asking you to examine our policy of drug prohibition, the Century of Lies. The show produced at the Pacifica Studios of KPFT, Houston. Our engineer, Philip Duffy.